it's a wonderfully sustaining, strengthening, fortifying truth to know that there is a God up there who has the keys.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about Thy Will Be Done. We've been talking about the sovereignty of God. Sovereign means chief, supreme in power, superior in position to all others, the one in charge. When Moses said to God, as he spoke to him out of the burning bush, "Who shall I say sent me when I go to Pharaoh?" God's answer was, "Tell him, I am, hath sent you." One of God's names is I am. Nobody else can call himself the eternal I am. And to John, he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I died. I have the keys of hell and of death. Fear not. I am with you." It's a wonderfully sustaining, strengthening, fortifying truth to know that there is a God up there who has the keys. The person with the keys is the one in charge of the place, right? That doctrine has held me through all kinds of ups and downs. That was the theme of my novel, No Graven Image. The glory of God is his unmatchability. He has no rivals. Nobody can threaten him. Well, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer, because one of the ways in which you and I can best cooperate with this sovereign God is through prayer. Are you good at praying? Are you an expert? Well, if you are, I'd love to meet you, because I'm not. And I don't really think I know any experts in praying. I know a lot of people who pray, and I know some people who pray a lot more than other people, but I doubt that there are any experts. And the disciples, even though they had spent much time with Jesus, learning from him, said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, how do we pray to such a God? In our last talk, we spoke about the first two petitions, "Hallowed be thy name," and "Thy kingdom come." Then the third petition is "Thy will be done." But as we make each of these requests, are we thinking about who God is? To whom do we bring such a request? Why would we want his kingdom to come? Why would we want his will to be done rather than our kingdom and our will? Well, the reason would be because we know that his kingdom is perfect. It's an everlasting kingdom. Nothing here on earth is permanent. Another reason is because we know he loves us, and he doesn't want anything less for any of us than perfect joy. Now, I'm going to read some few stanzas from a poem by John Updike. John Updike is a man with a very unusual vision of life, and I'm not by any means recommending Updike's books, but every now and then I come across something that he's written which opens up a whole vista to me that I hadn't even thought of. And this particular poem is called Mites, M-I-T-E-S, and it's from The New Yorker. And he describes a house dust mite, which he gives a long Latin name for that I can't pronounce. The first two lines of the poem are these: "A house dust mite," and then follows the Latin name, "is not a house mouse mite," and there follows the other Latin name. Well, I hadn't even thought about the fact that there are so many different kinds of mites, but I think it's true that there are something like 30,000 species, and the species name is acarines. I had to look that up in the dictionary when I found it in Updike's poem. But mites are practically invisible creatures. I guess most of them are invisible. And Updike meditates on these tiny things in the following way. To be a mite at all, to be so small you can rest as in a bunk bed beneath a flea's scales, or expend a lifetime in a single chicken feather, or the mite pouch, acarinarium of a carpenter bee. Well, I had to look that up, too. An acarinarium is, in fact, a part of the body of certain insects which seems to have been designed for sheltering mites. To dwell happy in the mouth of a long-nosed bat, like one species of Macronicidae's protonymph, causing tissue destruction and loss of teeth, or beneath the skin of a mammal, creating mange. I hadn't realized that mange was caused by mites. Imagine all this. Updike says, think how nature slaved over these arrangements. 30,000 species of acarines, 50 from the Antarctic alone, and some found 3 miles up Everest or a mile down in the sea. In the scanning electron microscope's patient gray light, as many tentacled with chelicerae as hobbled as stegosaurs, and I had to look that one up, that's a species of dinosaur, by their quaint equipment as endearing as baffled bears. If you're lost, stick with me. It's not really that complicated in the end. Here's the last stanza. These mini spiders, characterized by lack of waist, lateral eyes, and tininess, we marvel, we pity, we loathe. We try to forget perspectives from which we are smaller yet. Perspectives from which we are smaller yet. If we think of a mite as tiny, what size are we to God? And yet, it's God himself who tells us to call him Father. Our Father who art in heaven. What is God's perspective of us mites? We read, I created thee, I formed thee, I redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That same Lord, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, says, we are to call him Father. He didn't say to begin our prayer, O Almighty God, or, O everlasting Creator, or, O ground of being. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Identify yourself as his child. Remember who and where he is, his nature, his kingdom, his will. If you pray, thy will be done, does that scare you? But his will is love. Dante said, his will is our peace. His will is our joy. Nowhere else in the universe will true joy ever be found. Everything that happens, I keep saying, can be your gateway to joy. But it's only going to be a gateway to joy if you unite yourself with him and his kingdom and his will, in spite of how things look. Now here's another one of these penetrating letters from a friend of mine named Liz Armstrong. This is what she writes. A friend of mine asked me just the other night, Liz, she said, do you think God plays games with us, dangling things in front of us like a carrot or a puppet on a string just to see how we'll react? It didn't take long for me to say, certainly not. But then, feeling rather abrupt in my confidence, I said softly, but that doesn't mean that I don't feel like he plays games at times, because it does seem that way, doesn't it? She was most reassured to know that although I know he doesn't play with us, that I sometimes thought and felt as if circumstances were indicating that he did. I went on then to let her know that it is always a choice. It is always in our choosing that we come to believe. And that is what we live by, not our feelings, nor our natural appetite to figure upon what is still unseen. If we choose to live according to our doubts, according to our fears, according to our earthly longings, then of course it would seem to indicate that he is not actually playing the cards right, at least from our vantage point at present. But these things are not to matter, for in the long run it will not make any difference which way we felt. God still will be faithful. He still will continue on in his sovereign plan, his sovereign way, reigning over everything, every little sparrow that falls, every little heart unseen, keeping the galaxies in their proper bay. What makes the difference is not what we feel, but what we concentrate upon. Focusing upon the truth, the real, one can easily clarify the counterfeit. Feelings then must be abandoned when they do not fit, for there are higher stakes, and that is what I hope my friend understands. I want to read to you all of that poem that I've been quoting verse by verse from in the last few talks, William Cowper's poem, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds, with never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Can you pray with all your heart, Thy will be done?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.